So here we are on this beautiful April the 15th. And, you know, in Sedona, we just went through our annual sickle phase in Sedona. We had sleet, rain, snow, wind, 50-mile-an-hour wind, cold, below freezing temperatures yesterday. Had to pull all the plants in after having 2 months of near summer. It happens every year. It's amazing what the variability of climate that can exist when you're on the slopes coming down from San Francisco Peak and the canyon heading toward the low valley of Phoenix. Most people think of Sedona as being, not just Sedona, but Arizona as being like Phoenix. It's where the Segura cactuses grow and the sand dunes are, and irrigation and acres of flatland crops, and palm trees and swimming pools, and lots of sun year-round. Anyway, those are the images most people have of Sedona, of Arizona. Sedona is a totally different environment. It's actually 4,500 feet elevation. And so we have some fascinating seasonal changes here, not always ones that make me happy, but especially to go to all the work to pull my plants in off the patio. But anyway, nature and God are full of surprises. The sun is back out, and it's up to 60 degrees, and I think, hope, and pray summer is here now. It would be nice to have a long extended spring before summer does arrive, but I just want to encourage all of you who are thinking about coming to the Blessing Course to know that November is really a spectacular season. Actually, it has less change than many of our seasons because it's a dry season. It's the fall has come. It's stable. The aspens have turned golden. And the temperatures are usually in the 60s every day. They get crisp at night, but it's just a gorgeous time when the hard freezes have not come yet, so all the grass on the golf greens and the parks are still green, and the skies are blue. So it should be a wonderful time to be here. And I endorse everything that was said about the Blessing Course. It's not just a time where you come to learn about something. It's an authentic, direct experience with Yeshua, the Holy Spirit, and most of all with yourself, to discover yourself in the purest form you have ever known yourself, the imprint that was there from before your birth, that recognizes your soul, and to discover that, and then from that point on to walk through life, knowing and having that imprint and being it and walking in it, actually transforms the lives of everyone around you. It makes life so much simpler. The blessing itself is very powerful. And as blessing givers will tell you, if you have a chance to have a little conversation with them before a blessing call, sometimes they have to even cease offering the blessings for a week or two to regain their energy. It's very real. It's very powerful. And learning all of the aspects of how it unites you with the universe is an ongoing learning curve. And, of course, we have a very strong community, and we have monthly community calls where we have an opportunity to continue growing and sharing our experience as blessing givers. We come together for great times of world blessing, great times of world trauma, and we hope there will not be any great times of world trauma this year, but most years there's something, and we are there for it. So we have a community that really has a purpose. It's not about any kind of doctrine. It's not about you have to believe in this or you have to believe in that. Actually, the blessings are conveyed without words. It is the universal language of sacred energy that is harmonious with any and all all beliefs, and yet it brings into focus the highest form of Yeshua's belief that he rained down upon us through his life and left us as a legacy. So it's a very powerful opportunity to engage in something unlike you've ever experienced before. This is not a, well, I did something sort of like this before type of event. It is original beyond my ability to describe it. And when it came down to me from Yeshua, I was just awestruck with the possibility that I had this knowledge. I knew that the apostles had been given this knowledge. This is how Peter could go out and heal people. I knew that it had been perpetuated for perhaps several generations in the early church, but has been lost because we humans tend to return to the mental template of explaining something intellectually. And then we get into doctrine and, what do you believe? I believe this. Oh, well, we don't believe the same thing, so we have to have two different religions or two different denominations, and I wish you well, but don't come to my church. And that's the way the world has been for about, you know, it snapped back into that, Christianity did at least, for about the last 1700 years. So anyway, here we are bringing back the original energy, the original energetic conveyance. And you are the recipients of it now, and it even magnifies when you're the givers of it. I see Mara's on the line. Hi, Mara.
Well, I am, and I just wanted to add a little P.S. to the endorsement that I was giving before of coming to the, you know, coming to your next seminar. But the PS is this, and I love the way you just described this universal language. But I also want to add that I have this experience of laughing out loud a lot because that universal language of energy sometimes transposes itself, or whatever you call that, into our own language. And I can be asking a question for a week between, and this happens very frequently. And I'll think, now I should send off an email, but then I get busy and I don't. But, Glenda, I can't tell you how many, many, many times you answer my question. Right on the button. And then I just, I mean, it's so fun.
And I think, isn't it? It's a state of unity that we don't blend into others and lose ourselves, but it's a state of unity that just is constantly going with this little universal language where we feel connected, our answers are provided, our questions are heard, our love is felt. And also, Mara, have you noticed that you're getting younger?
Oh, yeah. So have other people. but you know, I often think, oh, God is playing with us. It's playful. It's just wonderful. Yes,
that is so great.
I feel younger than I ever have, really. The only thing that reminds me, Glenda, is that someone once said that felt sort of the way I do, and she was a wonderful writer, and she said someone interviewed her right not long before she died and asked her over the radio, and I heard this playback, if she felt old. Oh, no, she said, I don't feel old. She said, I never feel old. She said, the only time I'm reminded of it is when I look down and see that my upholstery is wearing out.
I love it.
I do, too. It's a great line.
Oh, that is awesome. Thank you, Mara, for all that you are and all that you share.
Thanks.
I see that Eve is on the telephone. Hi, Eve.
Hello, Glenda. How are you today?
Doing great.
Well, you know, we've talked about my interest in becoming a blessing giver for the animals.
Yes.
And I live in the country, and for some reason, animals keep showing up in my backyard. So far, four cats have adopted me, and just a couple days ago, a chicken showed up. So I have no idea what this is about. I thought maybe you could enlighten me as to why. I mean, it's a, you know, it's a large neighborhood, but they all kind of show up at my house.
Well, you know, Eve, some people are just really blessed. Speaking of universal language, they are just blessed with the energy frequency that calls animals. And that animals feel safe and comfortable with. They know when someone is safe. And they know when someone will love them. They just because they don't speak words doesn't mean they don't speak. They do speak in the universal language of energy. And as we refine our spiritual orientation, animals actually recognize that. Look at the life of St. Francis, who just called the animals from everywhere. And it's really funny the feedback I've had from so many people who have been blessing givers. Sometimes they will offer the blessings outside, and they notice that animals, which birds will come and light on the fence, and little the little reptiles that come on the ground. I'm still so busy laughing. I can't get all my words together here. And the little bugs and butterflies that they find that the blessing givers find that they're swarming with animals around them, and it's because they feel the energy and respond to it. And sometimes also when blessing givers have been delivering a lot of blessings and feel that they need to take a break, I will suggest that instead of blessing the earth or people or anything challenging, that they'll just go outside and find a bird or a cricket and bless the bird or the cricket, and they have the most extraordinary, delightful experience doing that with the animal, looking at them and appreciating it and then flying off. So this is not just a blessing for people. This is a blessing that both comes from the earth and returns to the earth. It comes for people, and yet it allows people to have a life that blesses others. So what we're doing is we're really stirring up the energy that we're all made of. We're actually all made of energy. It's just it's a condensation of energy from the adamantine particles into light, into then the creation of the subatomic particles. They begin to configure into little arrangements that determine what element they are. But you know what actually glues those little subatomic and atomic particles together is an electromagnetic matrix, a field that is unique to each element. There's a grand field that generates, sustains, and emanates all energy, but then within it, there are all these little microfields that allow the chemical configuration, let's say, of iron to be different from the chemical configuration of gold. And then it moves into the configurations of the molecular structure in our bodies that are unique. But everything is bound and held together by energetic, electromagnetic, it's like almost like little rubber bands that are tightly connected and tightly held together. Actually, we share and exchange common particles all the time. We exchange particles like we breathe air in and breathe air out. It's the energetic configurations that make different molecular structures unique. And then allow the molecular structures to cohere into larger configurations. Now, the reason I went to all that elaborate background is because what it all really comes down to is energy. And when we flow the blessing, we're flowing the blessing from an energetic field that breaks up the barnacles. It breaks up the sludge. It gets rid of the tightness in these configurations and perhaps some destructive or inappropriate configurations that are causing us to have depression or arthritis or toxic buildup in our bodies, like we just can't get rid of the lactic acid, and we're not sleeping well because our liver is not working as well. Well, as we break, as we send this energy through all the cells of our body, it kind of breaks up the sludge. But now it also does that in the environment. It breaks up the walls of resistance we have between ourselves and other things. And some of you are writing me all the time and asking, well, where's my next opportunity? And I don't even have to say anything like Mara was commenting, because people will write me back the next day and said, oh, I discovered it. It was on the other side of what I was resisting. And I just start laughing because it's so true. And so the blessing brings in this field of greater energy from the Holy Spirit, from our divine, almighty creator, and then anchors it in the human field, through the lens of our signatory energy configuration by the presence of Yeshua with us. You see, he brought a whole new fresh body of energy to the earth, but it had to be focused into the human template, shall we say, or the human receiver, the human radio station, so we could pick up those signals. Now, we've been picking up those signals for 2,000 years, and some people pick them up better than others. And those signals were not just given to people who conform to the Christian doctrine. They were given to all mankind. They were given to all of life, to the earth, to the animals, to the plants. It was given to all forms of living receivers. But it was especially focused in and given to the radio station of the human receiver, because we have been given responsibility for stewarding this planet and for rising to our ultimate state of realization, which the time has come that we do. And so what happens when you become a blessing giver is you learn to become a more focused radio station so that you can be that for not only yourself but for others. And you can bring that energy in more clearly and make it available for more people or the animals around you, in your case, Eve, because you don't, it's not that you have to go out with an intention to bless this or that animal. You just simply, well, you'll learn when you come to the seminar, you will just simply become a transmitter of what the Holy Spirit wants to do anyway, of what the Almighty Creator wants to do anyway, if we would just let go of our resistance. We are the ones blocking our blessings. We block them. And you would say, well, why do you block them? Why do we block them? Don't we want all the blessings? Well, actually, yes, the answer is a big yes and a big no. We want them, but we want them our way. We're like a five-year-old. Yes, we want that candy, but we want it because we want it, and we don't want it unless we get it the way we want it. And sometimes the way we want it is the reason we're not getting it, because we need to learn a better way of getting what we get, what we want, of opening up to realize and have what we want. Now, one of the very best ways of dissolving your resistance to blessings is to be grateful. You've heard many times, count your blessings. Well, count them many, many times. Don't ever stop counting your blessings, even if you have only a few. Then you reinforce the firmness of that blessing that you know, that you know, that you know you have it by sharing it. You see, there's something about sharing that is, it touches on us in a deeply mystical way, and it also breaks down our belief in scarcity. Let's just look at the element of fire. Now, fire has, of course, been here since the earliest days that humans could even have any sense of being human. They would see forest fires. They would see lightning strike and create a little fire. Perhaps they even learned about friction and they could make it. But they didn't know until a certain period of time how to keep it. You know how to keep fire? Without it running away, like becoming a forest fire and then burning out. The way you keep fire is you share it. You make a little campfire, and then you give somebody else a little fire so they can make a campfire. If yours goes out, somebody always has it. And the other interesting realization about the sharing of fire is the early humans learned that you don't lose anything by sharing. They soon learned that it was true for seeds. You save a certain number of seeds every year from your crop. And just in case your storage bin gets broken in by mice, you make sure to give your brother a portion of the seeds. And even if you lost everything, when your brother plants his crop, he can share with you his crop as well as seeds that he grew for the next season. So they learned that in sharing seeds, there was no scarcity. There was perpetuity. In sharing fire, there was no scarcity, only perpetuity. And so they began to share other things, and that's actually how communities were built. They were built around the principle that everything we have can be multiplied by sharing. When you share with those things you most love, that you most want to see more of, you get more of it. And this is not just a mystical concept that is like, Brenda went up, one day she climbed up Mount Olympus and she had this great revelation from on high, and she came back down the mountain and she said, now do this. Just trust me, it works. It's actually the foundation. The fact that it works is the foundation of all human community. When we forget that, we cease to have community. We cease to grow. Anytime the sharing stops, any community stops growing. And so I so much appreciate that you're sharing about the blessings with others, because that's how we grow. And for you to go out and bless someone doesn't cause us a scarcity. It brings us back the abundance of someone who's now been served by what we do. And this is the way we grow. So we block our blessings by not expressing gratitude, by not sharing, by imposing our limiting beliefs on how something has to be. This is why I ask you in every blessing to put your mind over on the park bench. Don't bring it into the blessing. We bless the mind. We know it's valuable to our survival and our advancement in life. But the fact is, our mind really has a pretty rigid, strict, fixed idea about the way things need to be. And if it had the answers, if it could provide all the answers, you wouldn't be here to receive a blessing. You wouldn't be going beyond the spectrum of the mind. You'd just be over there reading a book or writing an essay or figuring out tomorrow's business. That's what you'd be doing. And people who spend their life only doing that actually dry up pretty quick. They don't have much of a life. I know I taught in university environments for many years, and I know the degree of either agnosticism or atheism that's there, and how depleting it is to the emotional and just general personal radiance of people. They look older than they are. It's amazing how many 40-year-old professors look 60. And you bring in this extra energy. You don't need a facelift. You don't need, you know, to go to Club Med for 2 weeks to feel like a new person, because you've lifted the restraints that you yourself have put around you. Well, those are the three principal things that I want to remind you in approaching the blessing. And then, for those of you, be sure and be hydrated. Remember, as I said many times, this is energetic. You're going to simply go into your heart and be in your heart and pray as you pray in your heart. But the reason I don't, now it's all right to ask with words. That's all right. But don't go to your mind and figure out what you want to ask. The reason we pray, and I ask you to pray during this, is because I guess it would be the fourth thing. And that is that our Father, the Holy Spirit, Yeshua, our guardian angels, and the universe all have a commitment to not interfere with our free will. And so even though the blessings are provided, they're just kind of sitting off about anywhere from 20 feet away to 2,000 feet away, waiting for us to ask. So it is important that you pray, because it acknowledges your readiness to receive. And some of you do it in thought, some of you do it with feeling. Like you capture the feeling of what you want. Sometimes it's far more important to feel the feeling of abundance. What would it feel like? Than to be in a state of not having enough and praying to be bailed out. That's actually the mind at work. I hate to tell you, but it is. When you're in the heart and you want more abundance, you just feel it. You feel, it's like feeling the rain. It's like if you wanted rain, you would sit there and you would feel the warm raindrops that you like when you were a child and you would walk in the rain and paddle in the little mud puddles and you felt it. That's the way you would pray. So we have somebody else on the call and just about enough time to take one more comment. I don't have your name, but I'm sure you know who you are.
Hi, Glenda. It's Darlene.
Hi, Darlene.
How are you?
Right.
Glenda, you know, I don't think we have time to answer this question. I know it's getting close to blessing time, and I had two experiences this week after meditation, and I needed some insight as to what the experience was, because it was a very strange experience and an altered state, and I needed some insight and understanding about it. But I don't think we have enough time to go into that today.
Well, we probably don't, but if you want to write me about it on our question call line, perhaps I can address it next week.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thanks, Glenda.
Sure. Let's
all
get ready for our blessing now. Shoes and socks off, and we're going to... So shoes and socks off, be seated in an upright position, not uncomfortable. It's okay to lean back in your chair. The reason, have your head uncovered. The reason is have your feet on the earth and your head pointed toward heaven. This is the best way to receive the full flow of energy that is coming to you. And as I said, just let go of your mind. Do with it whatever is comfortable for you. Put it on a park bench. Send it out to play. Put it to sleep. We each have our different little images and methods for suspending it. So you do your thing. Then let us be in, let your attention drop into your heart. And as I start my invocation for Yeshua, what you will do is begin praying for all that you need and want, wherever you would like the energy of the Holy Spirit directed. Allow your receivership to open as your heart opens. The energetic blessing will take about 3 minutes, and when I let you know that it's complete, go and rest for about 7 minutes. It's okay if you rest longer. Rest as long as you need to. But once your mind starts coming back in, you know it's pretty much over. And if you fall asleep, that's okay too. So any blessing givers who would like to join me, you are indeed invited and welcome. If you need to receive today to replenish your own supply, pardon me, own supplies, then please do so. Dear Yeshua, the one who is with us always, to be our receiver and remind us of our own receiving ability, thank you for being here today and giving us this blessing. Thanks for conveying the blessing to us. We know that the power is coming from you, from the Holy Spirit and our Heavenly Father. Thank you for everything we receive and simply for the love and the care that you have to be with us. We ask that you magnify our prayers and steward them to the highest place of reality and into the heart of God, that they may be manifested in the very best way, as we ask or even greater than what we ask. Thank you for the healing, the love, the comfort, and the direction as we, day by day, become all that we are. Amen. energetic blessing is complete now. Go and rest. Be with God and know that you're very loved. Bye-bye for now.